Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald. Come on, get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Ghost fire.
Let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father. And yes, 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 His precious and beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the one and only, I might add. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unapologetically, and unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. Listen, He's the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life, which doesn't start when we ride on some cloud that many people think we will, when we approach the curly gates in the heaven of heavens. No, our eternal life starts right here on this earth, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Eternity starts now based upon your mouth's confession and the sincere belief in your heart. Jesus is our only hope and light, y'all, for this lost, dark, and dying world that we're living in. I want to say blessings to each and every one of you. Praise the Lord. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson. And I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspiration, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience, will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl. Trust me, believe me, I be that witness, y'all. He wants you, talking about God, wants you to be that victorious believer in Jesus Christ that He called you, created you, and assigned you to be. God is not a respecter of persons. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with Him in spirit and truth. So what God has done for one person need not be worried or jealous, because if He did it for someone else who trusts and believes, guess what? You trust and believe, He'll do it for you too. We will be embracing for our spiritual uplift from the book of Psalm 107th division and 43rd verse, where we are instructed to consider the loving deeds that are awesome, mighty, and loving God has done for those who put their faith, confidence, and trust in him. We read of an extended, lengthy discourse of God's faithful vision and care for the many souls that found themselves in the distresses of life. And yet, here we all are here today as living witnesses of how God is still blessing all believers, even today, from all those biblical times in the past. My special guest is here, and she is returning to continue this wonderful conversation about her new book, Honor to the Great Head of the Church, which is Volume 1, Educator, Businesswoman, and Author, Woman of God, Dr. Marguerite Williams is here. She's my fellow sister in Christ, as well as fellow member of New Saint Hurricane, pastored by Derek Easter, right here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So we're going to have a great conversation as we continue her discussing this phenomenal book about honor to the great head of the church, as we all know, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Phenomenal woman, educated, committed servant of God. You all are going to be blessed by our continued conversation. And then later on in the broadcast, I will be shining the artist spotlight on gospel artist, man of God, Paul P.J. Bill. He's got new music, and he's got a strong testimony. He's real smooth with it. Kind of reminds me of a new version with a twist of Israel Houghton. He's got it going on just like that. So why don't you call your family members, friends, co-workers, anybody that you could think of right now that is in your spirit that can use a good word of inspiration, information, as we dedicate ourselves once again to Almighty God. We've already had prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit God, for lighting the fuse that's going to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire. Thank you. lovely, lovely, lovely day. Every day is a lovely day. It doesn't matter about our circumstances, our emotions, or what's going on in the world around us. It's a lovely day because no matter what is going on, we may not know who, what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Amen for the lovely day that our God gives us. Woman of God, Jillian Baskerville, woman of God, gospel artist of the group Esther, phenomenal group of anointed vocalists, gospel singers, Jillian Baskerville breaking out with her own music project entitled Lovely, Lovely Day. And we are having a lovely day here with my special guest, woman of God, Dr. Marguerite Williams. Wife, mother, businesswoman, and Christian educator. She's married to my good brother and friend, Lewis Williams. She's the mother of two daughters, Marcinia Gregory and Liska Terrence, two son-in-laws, five grandchildren, Malcolm, Jordan, Jaden, Maya, and Jonathan. Dr. Marguerite Williams is president and CEO of Leaps Initiative, LLC, operating with a 36-year history in the primary businesses, Ephesus Christian Bookstore and Heritage Fashions Boutique, her Sharper Image Barber and Styling Salon, presently contract with independent barbers and stylists. Dr. Williams earned the Doctor of Education in Higher Education from the University of Arkansas at Little Rock and is a 2013 graduate of Trinity Theological Seminary, receiving the PhD in ministry leadership. Dr. Williams serves as Director of Ministries and Christian Education at New Saint Hurricane Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Derek Easter. She serves also as President of the Women's Auxiliary of the Regular Street Marion District Association of Pine Bluff. Dr. Williams is a teacher, an author, a motivational speaker, and a speech language pathologist. She is completing the writing of her first book, which we will be continuing our discussion, Volume 1, Honor to the Great Head of the Church, a transformational model for church leadership, administration, and management. This first book is Volume 1 of the Transformational Church Administration series designed to implement transformational advances and advancement for church growth. Without any further ado, blessed and honored to have woman of God, Dr. Marguerite Williams, here on this fire gospel experience. Blessings, my dear sister in Christ, Dr. Marguerite Williams. Welcome back to Fire the Gospel Experience. How are you, my dear?
I am good. Thank you so much, my brother and friend, Brother Ron Jefferson. Thank you. I am privileged again to be a part of this network and this platform.
Amen. Amen. I've had the pleasure of knowing Dr. Williams for some years now. She has been such a blessing to me personally. I know she got me on a prayer list, and every time I see her, she has such a beautiful, pleasant personality. I always have a good, inspirational word to share. Carries herself like a Proverbs 31 woman. Y'all getting this straight from me, and I'm telling y'all, she is living the Christian life, I believe, to the fullest. I am excited and happy to have her here with me. We are going to continue our conversation from her new book, which is phenomenal, Volume 1, Honor to the Great Head of the Church. Now, if you all would like to get the first program where Dr. Williams was my special guest on December the 5th, 2021, you can go to my YouTube channel, Ron E. Jefferson, and type in the title of that program, which is Believe, December the 5th, 2021, and you'll be able to get all of the profound knowledge that was shared on that broadcast from our first interview. We're going to pick up as Holy Spirit God leads Dr. Williams from there. I'm encouraging everyone listening to this broadcast, if you are serious about church administration, if you are serious about church development, church growth, how leaders are created and not necessarily born. God creates them to lead, but it is still a process, Dr. Williams, and I'm so happy to have you here with us. And I'm just going to ask you if you would just like to just, wherever you would like to start this interview, wherever you want to start, please feel free, and I promise you, we'll be blessed by God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Ryan. Thank you for that wonderful intro into where we hope to begin today. And this is a 12-chapter work divided into four divisions. And when we completed in December, we were just beginning to come off the introductory part and God's sovereignty and who he is. And then we were walking into leadership. And I believe that's where we are today. The primary focus to keep in mind about this particular work, honor to the great head of the church, is that my intent from the beginning to the end is to encourage church leaders, church members, disciples of the Lord to follow through in every endeavor on God's mission for the church. Follow through what he says is the mission. And those requirements are there for a proper clergy as well as a proper congregation. Everyone and everybody has a perspective by which God says things should be done. And the order to do them begins with him first and his Lord Christ as the head of the church. And everything following that is in the order found in Scripture. So I use this book as a medium, number one, to spread God's word. That was for sure, because in each chapter, my book is unique in that respect. In each chapter, you will find inside even my subheaders what God says about that particular area. So often we have questions, and we want to know, what does God say about questions? And we can find answers to everything in the Word of God. I think I need to make sure listeners know that I spent time in research. I spent time searching for what God would say about every topic that he inspired me to present and to grow in. And I grew those topics out of the Word of God as opposed to my opinion, because all of us have varied scopes of opinions from our experiences and our learnings and our knowledge in life. But God really does not want us to fall totally back on that. He gives us those experiences. He gives us that knowledge so that we can take what he says and who he is and shape it for mankind. So therefore, value is so added to who we are and how we grow. Thank you for sharing that. I've spent time in school, and I have a chapter that talks about how God grows leaders. And so that's where we're going to begin today. Thank you for that part for leadership, because we're going to begin pretty much here at chapter 5. I started with that, but I want to be a little specific because I want to thank some people here before I complete this chapter 5. There were, and it's sort of what the idea was for me to take and employ what I call expertise in the field, in the area of leadership, church leadership, because my book is talking about the head of the church. So I wanted to employ experts who were the head, who were God's assigned agents that he left in charge of the church. I wanted to hear from them as I, who is laity, as I study in his word, but I've not been called to the office of pastor. I've not been called to that position. So therefore, my expert skills are not as sharp from just reading and from research and even working these many, many years with pastors and leaders. They have a unique and different perspective on what God is telling, is speaking to the church. So I wanted to hear from them, and that's what chapter 5 did. I incorporated their opinions, their professional ideas, and their concerns. And I felt that would strengthen my case my case for leadership as to who God says they were and how the importance of the pastor is into the church. And so what I did to do that, Brother Ron, and just not to get ahead of myself, but today we wish to go through the leadership piece. And I think you said where we are today, and there may be an opportunity, if there is, to come back, because we can finish this leadership piece today, but leadership moves us into administration. So we would say, if you would have me on again, we can go into church administration that leaders begin to put in place in the church. And then the final and last part is church management. There are transformational models that I've brought into perspective for church leadership, which is our discussion for today, church administration, and finally church management. All of those should carefully be considered, and they're not just for leaders of the church. They're for member to know how these operate and manage, so they can have a keen eye on proper management, on what is happening with auxiliaries, and what is happening inside of groups, and what is happening with people who are in positions of quote-unquote authority in the church. So those pieces, that's important, so that the listeners will know that I did not write a book just for leaders or for pastors or for Christian educators, quote-unquote Christian educators, but for all members, anyone who is a disciple of the Lord who desires to give of themselves in service to the kingdom operating through their church, through the authority of the church, would know what God says are good and proper and dynamic ways, biblical, thoughtful ways by which we must conduct ourselves, and we must be the people he is calling for in these times. Quite naturally, this pandemic is a great part to where I went in chapter 11 and 12, because God sent me to write this book at the before the pandemic started. 6 months, I started writing this book. Then the pandemic came, and so the book, chapter 12, was not written until we were well into the ending of the first year of the pandemic. So God gave me it. I thank him for giving me pre-pandemic discussion, and he gave me post-pandemic discussion. Hallelujah, I could be able to be relational and relate to God's people as to what God is calling for us to continue to be, regardless of the challenges and the circumstances and the trials of suffering that may beset us. His word is sovereign regardless. So therefore, he has set the church in order to be obedient to his word and to follow in the way that they can, given the circumstances that they have to work in. And so that that being stated, I thank him for what leaders and pastors have shown themselves to be faithful, during the pandemic, during the trials and testings of life over the last in March, Tom, it'll be going into the third year. So God is with us. We don't set a timetable. He doesn't intend for us to set a timetable. He just says, trust me and do my will, and I will be with you. I thank God for that. So this chapter 5 opens up by saying the pastor, God's agent as church leader. And I open it with a scripture here that says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who will give an account. But let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. You will not be able to grow in the work of the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord, if the leader who is working on his behalf for you is not doing so with the joy of the Lord as his strength or her strength, mm-hmm. whoever your mm-hmm. pastor is, you want to make sure that you are following God's word for leadership. And so this chapter 5 is, in my opinion, is undoubtedly the most valuable sections in the book, because pastors are leaders. They serve to function as the spiritual authorities for the church. Isn't that something? They function as he gave them to care over and provide for the overall spiritual welfare of members. So they shepherd, they lead, preach, teach, guide, mentor, and they are the example of Christ's love to all those in their care. So therefore, the authority of the pastor is to bring lost into a saving and full relationship with the Lord. This is an awesome task, and God has bestowed that honor upon the men and women of God who are called into the office of pastor, and they present themselves before him as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. That is not only their reasonable service, but it is the reasonable service of all within their care, that we follow the example of that leader. To do so, we say that these persons, they highlight their characteristics in three categories: pastor, preacher, teacher, leader, administrator, shepherd, overseer. You see how that breaks them up? They not only are they called to the overall seat of pastorate, but in that seat, they are a preacher / teacher, leader / administrator, shepherd / overseer. So they lead, administrate, and manage. That overseeing part is the management part of what God desires for the overarching individual who has been called to be his agent in a church. Mm-hmm. That is what they do. And so how did I qualify that? I next place scripture in place on pastoral leadership, and I have about 15 or 20 scriptures there to help us know what God says is given to the position of pastor and what that person, that individual must be. And then, so what I did with that, I wanted to, again, make sure although I was genuinely filled with gratitude that God would use my heart and would use my years of dedicated service in study and in writing and in teaching, I thank him for that. But I also wanted to make sure that we looked at the authentic experiences of those individuals in office. So I began with a letter of consent to ask these. I asked 10 pastors, would you help me write chapter 5? And it was something about, I need your help and your participation. Isn't that something of me to ask for help and participation? I guess they might say that she's a little bold, but I kind of think I've kind of always been given that spirit of boldness inside of me, even though I've been kind of my personality is kind of a little shifty, sometimes a quiet, and I'm a little reserved, and I have resolve, but something inside of me since I was a young girl, when I was 9 years old, my pastor who baptized me at Newtown called me his praying missionary. God gave me, in spite of myself, a boldness in him that allowed me to speak out and pray hard and think forward in his name. So that is, without saying, that still sort of went with me as I began to go into this level and walk in this position of writing for him. I asked pastors for their help and their participation. Out of the 10, I received from all 10 kind words and congratulatory comments, but only 7 was able to follow through and to give of their time, because it would have required a amount of time and their and their taken away from their duties to what I asked of them. What did I ask? I asked if they would complete an 8-question survey. And it says it was for them to, this is kind of the way I sort of put a little sentence right here. It says, I participate in my, I've composed a total of 8 questions for you to provide answers to from a 5-sentence limit for each question. Then I said, if you need a little more space, feel free to do so. But these are the questions I asked of those 10 pastors. And question number one was, please give your philosophy of biblical visionary leadership as it relates to God's mission and purpose for the church. And then there were, each question was of that sense of depth, that sense of I wanted them to give me a depth where I was as a writer, and I knew that they could, and I desired that they would focus inside where I was going with this book. And number two, express your understanding of spiritual authority for the church. Will you share your thoughts on spiritual leadership authority? Number three, share your thoughts on 2 interrelated models of leadership styles, transformational leadership and servant leadership. Which one has more value to you as a church pastor? Would you say that you are more likely to embrace one style over the other? Why or why not? Question 4, what is the pastor's role in church administration? This can be a controversial issue for some churches, depending upon the size of the church, the inclination of that pastor, and the leadership that was there in place before that pastor came, how that church has been indoctrinated down through the years. That can be a sticky little question. So I wanted to make sure my pastors gave me several points of view. Wherever they were, we would have a range of thoughts there, and we did a range of thoughts, as a matter of fact. Number 5, what does this statement mean for you and your congregation? The pastor serves as change agent. The pastor serves as change agent. I dearly wanted to know what they said about that. Number 6, provide expression for this thought, the cost of leadership. Number 7, what are competencies and essential qualities for effective pastoral leadership? And finally, number 7, your thoughts on a pastor's personal life and the impact of that life on the life and health of a congregation. Today, our brother Ron, and to my congregation, to my listening audience, I am so excited to share that I received answers in detail from 7 great, profound pastors within the Pine Bluff, Little Rock, and Arkansas area. These pastors are listed, and they are Pastor Glenn Barnes, Pine Hill Missionary Baptist Church. Such awesome and great answers from Pastor Barnes. The next, Pastor Brian Castle, Indiana Street Missionary Baptist Church, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Thank you, God, for Pastor Castle's answers. Our next pastor, his answers, were Pastor Derek Eastern, my pastor, your pastor, our pastor, New Saint Hurricane Missionary Baptist Church here in Pine Bluff. Such profound answers from Pastor Easter on each of those 8 questions. The next pastor that answered and that returned his survey, Pastor Emilio P. Howard, Grace Temple Missionary Baptist Church here in Pine Bluff, who is the moderator of our district, regular St. Marian District Association. Pastor Howard gave such awesome answers to his questions. And each of these pastors gave answers according to who they were and where they their positions. And I needed that to be a part of this deliberation and a part of this discourse so that we can have conversation, not only from the pastors, but from the readers. Listen to the conversation. I could tell you about conversations I've been in even now from people who have read the book and read those chapters and came back and had conversations with me about the pastor's pastoral answers.
my friend and fellow dean of the regular Arkansas Missionary Baptist State Congress of Christian Education, Pastor Dr. Ronald Lorentz, First Missionary Baptist Church, Holly Grove, Arkansas. My friend gave those answers that deans and pastors would give, looking at the overarching view of caring for the flock from that leadership perspective. Pastor and friend, Reverend G.L. Sanders, who was president of the regular Arkansas Baptist State Congress of Christian Education during the entire 10 years where I served as dean of that Congress. He is pastor of Mercy Missionary Baptist Church, Little Rock, Arkansas. Pastor Sanders, thank you for your insightful views on each question asked, how you candidly presented your information in a way that was clergy, scholarly, and just you who you are. Thank you so much for giving up your time to this responsibility. Then there was also Pastor Roger Smith, good friend and pastor from the Centennial Missionary Baptist Church in Kensett, Arkansas. They're in that northeastern area. They're near the Searcy, Arkansas area. So I just wanted my listeners to hear that we have a range of pastors. And as I stated, there were other pastors asked, but their time and commitment may not allow them, and they sent back their apologies and thank you for my asking of them. But these pastors took the time. Now, I will say there were some who wrote it out and emailed it and sent back, and some asked if they would dictate it to me. So what we did for those who dictated to me, we had the phone there ready. We dictated, I wrote the answers, then I sent it back to see what their approval to their answers. And each one was in good form and good fashion for what this writer or this person was reviewing their work, how they responded to me. So thank you again to those pastors who responded to that survey. Are there any thoughts right now, right here, Brother Rona? I can continue with this chapter 5 on into leadership misuses and abuses, or anything you want to add, because that's a good point if you want to add something there.
Well, these are all anointed pastors, men of God, that we are so grateful for their dedication. But my thoughts for this particular portion of what you're saying in regards to pastors, Dr. Williams, is that sometimes we in the church, as well as particularly people outside of the church, they may assume that a pastor is just trying to be an overlord, a big shot, big car, bunch of suits, but they do not understand the depth that is required to be a true pastor. And our Lord Jesus, he broke it down very well when he said in Matthew 20:26, that it's not so for you. Instead, whoever wants to be great as a pastor, a bishop, or a leader in the church among you must be your servant. So I'm trying to help the listeners understand that you shared all of this and gave that acknowledgement and accolades to these great pastors, men of God, not because these are men that are trying to be big shots in the community, throw their weight around, or abuse power, but these are true men that took the time to contribute with this awesome book, that have declared themselves to, yes, I'm the pastor of this church, so I have the responsibility to be the most demonstrative one of what it means to be a servant, because that's what our Lord Jesus did.
Absolutely, and that walks us right into those three little topical headings under their works, and I won't go into each of them, but I will name them. The next header says misuse and abuses in leadership, and I think this subject just, I thank God for how he allowed my heart to research and seek out a very dear friend who wrote the foreword for this book, Dr. Jeffrey Gons out of Virginia. Okay. He has a work that is already published, and I took a statement or two from him, and I built research around that, and he talked about spiritual leadership, but he also talked about spiritual abuse and spiritual misuse in the form of spiritual manipulation.
Okay,
so we want to make sure that we, and I say, and from my studying,
spiritual manipulation occurs when people negotiate, control, or influence for their own advantage. And that can start from the pulpit to the ushers at the door. I enumerated how that can be a difficult problem out of leaders, but pastoral leadership is watchful to make sure that that is not who they are. And then I talked about those some spiritual pitfalls that may be, these are dangers. Pitfalls are dangers for church pastors, elders, and leadership, and how to be watchful for them. But when you pair education, training, and experiences together with wisdom and knowledge, you will cause for lesser opportunity in pitfalls. And it also depends upon that individual. So I just want to just give a few of the pitfalls. And I want to say that these pitfalls came from me. I want to add that after I got finished studying about 8 or 9 different resources, and I just sat back in my seat one night, and this just came to me, what this means. And I started writing right then while it was hot and heavy in my spirit. And I wrote this. It says, the following is a list of dangers I perceive church leaders may face at some point in the work of their leadership. Some of these are somewhat more difficult to manage than others, but the wisdom of Scripture, wise counsel from elders in the church, and the individual's personal commitment to truth will lessen the occurrences of these errors and their negative impact to ministry from the lives of godly leaders. And then here's just a few. I have about 20 listed. I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 of them. Pitfall number one, pitfalls in not fully understanding the gravity of the calling. Pitfalls with the inability to grasp vision for the church. Pitfalls in rightly communicating the gospel message. Pitfalls in not acquiring necessary leadership skills and strategies for the work. Pitfalls of desiring personal gain over stewardship and sacrifice. Pitfalls in not understanding the dynamics surrounding difficult members. Pitfalls with desiring too much too soon. And finally, pitfalls in one's personal life. And those are just a few of the many that are listed. And if you get the book, you will see all of them. This can be great conversation for pastors and their groups and in their classes. And when they're speaking among themselves or talking to one another when they're out to lunch or talking in the pastor study, no one is there for them but them. These are good conversational pieces that different authors and experts in the field of biblical leadership, of pastoral leadership, says these pitfalls can be ever present. And how do you help novice as well as even experienced pastors not fall in these pitfall places? And
amen.
Then that
amen.
Takes us, amen. So that completes that chapter 5. We're going to try to go a little bit farther. You just let me know when there's a need for your break, and we'll come back.
Well, we're going to go ahead and let what you shared, Dr. Williams, about the pitfalls and everything else that you shared about the commitment, the acknowledgement of those wonderful pastors that have contributed. But we want that to kind of sink in. We're going to take a brief music break because man of God, James Fortune, is on the platform, and he's waiting to let us know that our God, he will never, ever, never let you down. I promise you, I can testify to that part. Yes, Lord.
You'll never let me down.
With everything that's been going on, this has to be said.
All of my life, one thing hasn't changed.
That's real.
never. Here it is.
Said you never let me down.
Where's the lie? That's why. Yeah.
Said you never let me down.
Thank you. God.
Never.
Never
let me down.
You've been faithful. Should have took me under, you carried me over. Since we're being honest. God, you thought it was trouble, but it was only training. I know my they see your breakthrough, but they don't know you've been through. So testify.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fire the gospel experience. And we are here with woman of God, educator, businesswoman, and author, Dr. Marguerite Williams. And we're discussing her book from Volume 1, Honors to the Great Head of the Church. And Dr. Williams, I want to go back real quick, if I may, to when you spoke about how you had already started preparing certain chapters pre-pandemic, which has great references to this current pandemic situation that we're in, which to me, when I heard you say that, what that told me is that that was a confirmational sign that God's hand is in it. It wasn't incidental. It wasn't coincidental, because we have not endured anything in this country like this global pandemic. So for you to speak about having material that references this pandemic before the pandemic even hit, for me, that's a sign that God is a part of this project, that he has given you information ahead of time to show that there is some sufficient and concrete knowledge that is God ordained in this book that you've written, Honor to the Great Head of the Church. So I just want to put that in there and let people know that you're not just writing under your own auspices, but you are writing, I believe, as you are led by Holy Spirit God to share this information in this book.
Thank you, sir. I felt that way, and I thank you for sharing that, for sure. God is, he's an amazing God, and there is no secret what he can do. This chapter six, to our listening audience, is I'm going to, because we have a few minutes here, and you can't dig deep into these chapters, but I'm going to give you enough to what for you to want to desire to seek out how to purchase this book if there is opportunity for that before we leave. I don't know. But also how you can just know about it from this platform, but also how it can be purchased from our bookstore and online. Am I correct, Brother Ron?
So yes, ma'am. You are correct. Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Chapter 5, we talked about those leaders, but here we're going to look at how these leaders plan for leadership. And when these leaders plan, now, they're not planning for just for them. Yes, leaders, pastors go to pastoral schools, pastoral conferences, pastoral meetings, all kinds of trainings for pastoral leadership, but inside of them, they go there so they can plan for the leadership of their church and how to be very effective in doing so. So the first we look at is effective spiritual leadership, and I call this leading from the love of Jesus, and it positions those leaders to discover some basic truth for why they lead so that they can perfect all they have that has been assigned for them to accomplish. And I think that's very important. So their leadership style is a walk of faith, and it's to hold on to the teachings of the one who saves and delivers followers. That's what they do. They hold tight to the teachings of the one who saves and the one who delivers. And that's who they are the transporters. They are the conduit by which God utilized what's inside of them so that people can become powerful in their knowledge of the Lord and in their service to the Lord. And that's where these leaders are. So they follow a spiritual summons for service, and then that summons is to influence others in hope and in dedication and into a reconciled life unto God through the gift of redemption. That is who leaders are. So that's effective spiritual leadership. And then there is a biblical mandate for this. Again, I present what God says about ministry for leadership. There is about 8 or 9 different references that I give to help leaders understand what God says to leaders today. And Luke 6:31, do to others as you would like them to do to you.
Amen.
Philippians 2:3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. One day I taught that what that meant, that better than yourself. God gave me a little knowledge, and I just kind of stayed in the word to he kind of help me understand what that better than yourself meant. And then Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. These are just 3 of the scripture references that God is giving to leaders as they go about equipping themselves spiritually for the work. And there are many others that are listed as well. So leaders would find themselves making sure that they're following what the great head of the church has admonished for them to be first. I'm not talking about doing yet. I think we get it mixed up. We take the horse before the cart. God desires that we be that thing first, that we be holy and acceptable
unto him. He desires that we know that because we have spent time with him in the word, spent time
yes,
in
Lord.
Daily study, meditation, prayer, giving up ourselves unto this world, unto him. Leaders are obligated to have to walk into that rigid, I know it sounds kind of tight, but it's a way maker place for them so that grapes can be pressed down and shaken together so that it'll run over spiritually unto others. And it will be the might and the spirit of God that becomes pressed down and shaken together and running over to others in that regard. That scripture talks about many other givings, give. But when you give of yourself into the word of God, when you give of your time into him, when you give of your sacrifices unto him in studying for him, then he will press that himself down in you, and he will shake it together. And when you begin to become an exhorter for him, pastors and leaders, then he comes forth. He comes forth. And you know that those who listen, yokes will be broken and chains captives will be set free, because that's who Christ said he came for, that purpose. So when you seek him, when you seek unto him only, he gives that power unto you, that dunamis power from him. He gives it
Lord
to
Jesus.
You so that you become a carrier and a conduit of that power for others. So leadership authority, that spiritual leadership authority for planning, he says, do so in his word. And then I talked about leadership. And let me know my time. Just let me tell me when I stop. I'm kind of looking at my clock. I don't think I have about two more minutes. And so I'm going to wrap this up right now. Effective leadership is character driven. And we could spend a lot of time on that, but I'm going to leave with this thought. Leadership takes courage, discipline, and determination. There are some wonderful examples of great leaders. So again, I found 10 quality examples. I'm going to read about two or three of them with the 2 minutes I have left. A leader submits to the will and authority of God. A leader serves for the good of others. A leader leads by example. A leader takes the greater risk. A leader sees the big picture, carefully considering options beyond the obvious. And finally, a leader plans for the unexpected. Stay grounded in the Lord. Stay girdled within his might, and let him be your guide, your thinker, and then put forth what he says for his people. Thank you for this opportunity. We can continue if you desire at a later date.
Amen. I'm just going to continue because this is so awesome and so powerful and so profound. A leader has integrity, standards, and a character of worth. A leader willingly shares knowledge with like-minded followers. A leader does not fear the gifts, talents, and abilities of others. A leader recognizes that the whole is far greater than the sum of individual parts. And then finally, a leader may give out, but strives not to give up. A leader considers God's guidance to know when a particular service has been completed. And if I could just put an asterisk on this, I was listening to a sermon by the one and only Dr. Miles Monroe. He said a leader does not seek followers. And he said a leader does not even pursue leadership. A leader is created according to the purpose and will of God. See, we have people that pursue titles and positions, but they are being motivated by their own mindset, by their own proclivities. But the leaders that God brings to the body of Christ, to the church, are people for the most part that would rather just stay in the congregation. But God selectively pulls leaders out because he knows the character. Remember Moses? Remember Jeremiah? These men looked at themselves and they thought so very little of themselves. They said, you must be mistaken, God, because I don't see it in me. It's not what we see in ourselves, listeners. It's what God sees and feels and develops and matures and seasons in us. That's why Paul told Timothy, don't put a newcomer in a leadership position because he has
Absolutely.
Not lived enough of life experiences to be able to maneuver and navigate his own emotions and not get caught up in his feelings or limited perspectives. Amen, amen, amen. And I just want to let y'all know I can read right along with Dr. Williams because she gave me her autograph copy when she first brought him to our church when she had a book signing at New St. Hurricane Missionary Baptist Church. I'm not just a facilitator. I am a supporter, and that's what I do. Dr. Williams,
yes,
bless
sir.
You. Thank you so much. I just want my listeners to know, thank you, that you can go to Dr. Williams' Facebook page where you can see advertisement for this phenomenal fashion and boutique, Heritage Fashions and Boutique. Ladies, if you want to get some unique apparel, unique accessories, go to Dr. Marguerite Williams' Facebook page. You can go to Ephesus Christian Bookstore, Heritage Bookstore on Facebook, and she has a phenomenal array of photographs of books, of clothing, dresses, gowns, hats, necklaces, purses, you name it. She'll tell yourself, I shop there, and I'm going to continue to shop there because she has a very unique store where you can get things, and you can brag about it too because all the other ladies be talking about, where'd you get that, where'd you get that? And you know that if they haven't gone to Ephesus Christian Heritage Bookstore, that if they have not gone there, you ain't got to worry about nobody walking in with the same thing that you got on because it's a unique store. It's phenomenal. Dr. Williams, bless
you.
We're going to have to continue this conversation as we had already previously discussed, and I have no problem with it. I'm just delighted for the success that God has blessed over your life. I am just looking at you and your family as an example of how God will put his hands of blessings and anointings on the whole family. It just, you know how they say that the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree? I could see how your husband, Lewis Williams, shout out to the man of God, Lewis Williams, and your children and your grandchildren all have been blessed and covered by God. It is just such a wonderful thing to behold. That's why I associate myself with you all, because I'm trying to let some of God's favorite blessings rub off on me through y'all. I ain't even ashamed to say it.
Absolutely, you too, sir. Thank you so much for the work God has placed in your hands in the kingdom and how what a force you are. Thank God for who you are and the kindness of your heart and your diligence to task. Thank you. And I just give a little sneak preview here, just a half a minute. I am writing now on volume 2. I won't tell the topic or the title just yet because it's too soon to do that. But I will say I am working on volume 2.
Amen. Amen. Phenomenal.
Amen.
And we know that it will be a dynamic success just like volume 1 is. Dr. Williams, we will be in touch so we can schedule and continue this wonderful series on this book, phenomenally written by my dear friend, Sister in Christ, Dr. Margaret Williams, Volume 1, Honor to the Great Head of the Church. You be blessed. Until next time we talk, I pray God will bless you, keep you covered as always. Looking forward to when you are able to come back and visit with us and share phenomenal knowledge, wisdom, and how the church needs to be equipped for ongoing evolution in administration and management according to the move and the way of God. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you kindly. You have a blessed evening.
Dr. Marguerite Williams was right here, y'all, on this Fire Gospel Experience, and we were certainly excited and blessed to have her with us. But don't worry, she will be back again. Amen. Amen. Jesus, what a wonderful woman of God she is. And I'm telling you, just gifted and talented to do the things that she do. We are about to shine this artist spotlight on the man of God, Paul Bill. Talking about Paul P.J. Bill, if you know him like that. If not, it's okay. He's a friendly spirited young man. And I'm sure that after a minute or two, he probably won't even mind if you call him P.J. We're going to shine the spotlight on this man of God. And we're going to play his music, and we're going to get his testimony, and we're going to just give God the praise for all the goodness, all the mercy and grace that he's given us today and always. Amen. Goes right there. Here's woman of God, Juliet Brown, because listen, none of us have arrived at perfection. We are all sinners saved by God's grace. Here's Woman of God, Julia Brown, singing about it. Sinners, we don't forget where we came from. We're just so grateful that God has moved us on from who we used to be until who we are now in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dr. Marguerite Williams, owner of Ephesus Christian Bookstore and Heritage Fashions Boutique, and you are listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with my brother, Ron E. Jefferson. This Fire Radio ministry will bless your souls with uplifting biblical inspiration and anointed gospel music. I'm inviting everyone in the Pine Bluff, Altheimer, Dumas, Little Rock, and the Southeast Arkansas area to come to Ephesus Christian Bookstore. There you can find all your Bible and religious books and materials for your church, groups, and personal spiritual understanding and growth. We also carry the finest in choir robes, minister robes, women's clothing apparel, jewelry, and other fashionable accessories. We are located at 901 West 6th Avenue, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and we can be reached at 870-535-5665. And yes, we do have fire. The Gospel Experiences host, Ron E. Jefferson's new book, The Man Code, Being a Man of Purpose on Purpose. So keep it tuned in and bless your family, your friends, and co-workers by telling them about fire on this station. It's all about kingdom building. Have a great day.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Marguerite Williams, for a wonderful, phenomenal interview. Looking forward to you coming back, woman of God, so we can complete this awesome discussion about Volume 1, Honor to the Great Head of the Church. Amen. Goes right there. My special guest is here, a young man that is on the battlefield for the Lord. I trust and believe that he will continue to do great and mighty things for God Almighty. I just love the fact that these young brothers are just taking purposely what God has put into their lives, because I have been one who has been so concerned about the men coming to the church. That's why I have dedicated books. I have written books, The Man Code, Being a Man of Purpose on Purpose, to try my best, y'all, to facilitate these men of God about the knowledge of what it means to be a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. My special guest, man of God, he is a musician. He is a vocalist for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is here on this Fire Gospel Experience to share with us what thus says the Lord, what God has given for him, how God has moved in his life. And I am just excited to have this young man here with us. You all will certainly be blessed by this young man, because he's doing great and mighty things for God. He is a worshiper, husband, father, son, music producer, engineer, songwriter at J&J Studios. He is a performing artist. He is a singer. He is worship leader associate at Hope Church. He is originally from my former hometown, the D, not Dallas, not Delaware, but Detroit. He's now living in Springfield, Illinois, and he's happy to be here with us, I do believe. So without any further ado, my special guest, man of God, Paul PJ. You could call it PJ if you know him like I know him, and I don't think he'll mind at all. Bill is here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Man of God, feel free to just come right on in the room. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, my good brother. Welcome to this fire gospel experience. Why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself, man of God, Paul PJ.
Absolutely.
I just this spotlight on you a little bit more so I can make sure you standing in some bright light so that everybody can see you and feel you at the same time.
Absolutely. No, so my name's Paul. I'm from Illinois, and basically just a husband, a father, and a young man who loves the Lord. I mean, honestly, definitely grateful to be on with you guys today, and very, very excited for all that God is doing through you and this ministry as well.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Your new song that you have out is entitled Move. Why don't you give us some in-depth understanding about what it means when you move?
Absolutely. So everybody can attest to some type of experience that they've had, you know, with the pandemic. And the song was actually birthed out of, in the area that I live in, we were getting ready to go into another lockdown. And so it was something that, for me, was actually more of a desperate cry that we need God to move, not just in the situation or the circumstance of COVID, but, you know, it became more of an anthem that we need him to move in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, on our jobs. Wherever God can move, we need him to move right now. Whatever the situation or circumstance that somebody's going through, we need him to move. And so the song was really, really just a cry from my heart to the Lord and for the people.
Amen, amen. You are so correct, good brother. We always are in need of God to move. And the thing about it is God is always moving. It's probably just on our end for the ability to patiently wait for God to move. Because even when God is not moving, it's still a move of God, because God knows that his timing is perfect. So even when things sit still, it is still a move of God. It's just not the activity that we would pursue, because we always think God is supposed to make something happen, make some change. Well, God sometimes is just letting us grow into a place of maturity and trust. So before I play this awesome, anointed, uplifting song that you have, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you first got into the music ministry? Did you start singing or playing instruments, musical instruments at an early age, and then just watch God come into your life and pull you into this?
Well, I definitely did. I've been singing since I was 5 years old, and you know, as far as singing for the Lord, that didn't really actually happen until I came to know him for myself. So before then, I was in bands, mainly of the secular genre. But when I actually gave my life to the Lord and got converted to Christianity at 21, that was really more so where I took the gift that God had given me and decided to give it all back to him. And so it's been nearly 9 years. I'm turning 30 next month. So 9 years walking with the Lord, singing for him, you know, doing everything that I can for his glory. So.
Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. You have a unique free-flowing style. You kind of put me in mindset of Israel Houghton. You know, I don't know who your mentors, or maybe some people that just kind of motivated you and influenced you in any way, but you definitely have your own unique style. So I'm not trying to have you mimicking Israel Houghton, but I'm just saying that's a great compliment all by itself. But listen, good man of God, I want my listeners to go ahead and move right along with my special guest that's in the Shine Artist Spotlight, Paul DJ Bill. He's here.
Now come on, if you come here today to lift up the name of Jesus, I need everybody in this place to scream. Creator of the universe, Creator of heaven and earth, we need you to move. We need you to move. Help me sing that tonight.
Creator of the universe,
of heaven and earth.
Creator of heaven and earth.
We need you.
We need you.
We need you.
We need you.
Oh, come on, you got it now. Sing Creator.
Creator of the universe.
Creator.
We need you.
goes right there. We appreciate every move of God. My special guest right here in the Shine Out of Spotlight, man of God, Paul P.J. Bill is here. Tell us, man of God, before you get out of here, what is the next move that God has for you in your personal life and ministry?
Well, I would say ministry for me starts at home. And so the next move there is just pouring every bit of time, spare time, and energy and knowledge and wealth of love that I have into my children and into my wife. And then, of course, artistry-wise, we're doing wonderful things at Millennium Sound Records. We're getting ready to be at the SOAR Awards with Todd Delaney and Tasha Cobbs and Jonathan McReynolds. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What?
So definitely cannot wait for that. And outside of that, you know, I'm actually in the middle of a youth service right now. I serve as a youth worship leader as well. And so,
yes,
so I'm actually in the middle of a service right now. They're any minute they'll be calling me to come back up. But definitely,
Amen.
Definitely grateful for just all God has given me and doing everything I can to give back, not just on a large scale, but also on a small scale as well.
Amen. So we definitely want to give a shout out to Woman of God, LaFisha Taylor, for bringing you to this Fire Gospel Experience platform. Shout out, Woman of God. Thank you for the work that you're doing and leading and guiding this young man. And before they call you to come back to minister, why don't you give us your social media contact? Why don't you share with us how your music can be downloaded?
Absolutely. You can go anywhere you get your music. You can find Move and the EP that's getting ready to come out here in April. So if you get your music on Spotify, you'll find it on Spotify. You can find it on Apple Music or iTunes. And anybody that would like to just follow my journey in Christ, you can go to social media, Facebook or Instagram, at Paul Bill Jr., and you'll be able to stay up to date with everything that that God is doing in my life. So.
Amen, amen. Well, my prayer is God will continue to move in a positive direction in your life ministry and expand your territory of faithfulness and fruitfulness to God, man of God. So please, please, please stay connected to this Fire Gospel Experience. I look forward to having you come back where we can sit down and talk a little bit more about who you are as a man of God and some of your spiritual principles that you can bless those like yourself that are at that millennial age. Because they may not listen to an old school brother like me, but they may listen to somebody like you because the truth of God's word will penetrate.
Yes,
will penetrate throughout the generations. Amen. Is that the truth, man of God?
Amen. That is the truth. I believe that.
Amen. Amen. So you're in our prayers.
So,
keep us
thank
in
you
your
so
prayers,
much for having
and
me.
And we look forward to having you come back, good brother. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Man of God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. He's got double duty, but we're so grateful that he was able to move away from his commitment where he's ministering right now at his local church, wherever he is, and just to step away and be with us. We thank him for that. We thank him for this awesome, inspirational song, Move. I will be spinning that bad boy because it made me want to move, move, move. We're moving in the will of God on this Fire Gospel Experience. We don't want you to worry about nothing, because it's all good. We about to take y'all to church. Y'all know how I do it. I go with a flow. Holy Spirit God just steps in, and I have so much awesome music, contemporary, traditional. I have urban inspirational music, and it just flows in such a beautiful way together. So we could just be right here on this Fire Gospel Experience and have church. You don't believe me? It's the Michigan Nightingale picking up straight to church.
This is the song that my father wrote. I'd like to dedicate this to him. If he was here, I believe he would say something like this.
choir. I wanna hear the choir sing. My soul would like it, yeah.
Very much.
Very much.
If my father was here today, I believe he would say something like this.
I'm gonna be sitting in one of those church pews, yeah. And I'll be giving God, giving him the praises, yes I will.
Thank you. Hello, I am teacher, author, born-again believer, woman of God, Trina R. Ford. I am grateful to God Almighty who has called me to celebrate who He is in the highest. If you're in search of someone to speak life, love, and spiritual healing at your conference, seminar, or fellowship, you can contact me by phone at area code 870-329-3556 or by email at treford91@gmail.com. And if you're looking for great spiritual insight, inspiration, and uplift, I encourage you to read my newly released book, Just Breathe, The Testament of a Breast Cancer Survivor. You can order my book at Amazon.com, or for an autographed copy, you can order on Facebook, author Trina Ford, or contact me directly. And you are listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience, where the music is moving, unrestrained, and of biblical inspiration. Be a blessing to family and friends, and let the light of Jesus Christ shine bright as you encourage them to keep their radio tuned to Fire, the kingdom-building gospel experience.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woman of God, Trina R. Ford has written a phenomenal book about her life testimony through the ordeal of breast cancer and how God moved through her to be able to share those testimonials of victory and full recovery. Amen. I'm inviting all of you authors, being a two-time published author myself, I understand how important it is to get book promotionals out there so that people can appreciate your literary work that God has given you. So get in touch with me so that I can have you come on to this Fire Gospel Experience as my special guest, and we will discuss your awesome, amazing, and anointed book project, just like we did for Woman of God, Dr. Marguerite Williams, in Volume 1, Honor to the Great Head of the Church. I'm right there on Facebook, Ryan E. Jefferson. Get in touch with me. Or you can give me a call, 870-413-0220. Get in touch with me or send me an email to ronaldjefferson1@aol.com. Again, get in touch with me. We are embracing for our spiritual uplift and consideration from the book of Psalm 107th division, with chapter, I believe, is verse rather 43. There's no chapters. These are psalms. It's division. Division 107 and verse 43, where we read, "Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord," from the NIV. Y'all know how I love to share those other complimentary versions of the Bible. The Amplified Version reads Psalms 107 division, verse 43, "Who is wise? Let him observe and heed these things and thoughtfully consider the loving kindness of the Lord." Amen. The Message Version of the Bible reads Psalms 107th division, verse 43, "Good people see this and are glad. Bad people are speechless, stopped in their tracks. If you are really wise, you'll think this over. It's time you appreciated God's deep love." We're discussing live and learn. So if you grew up at the time that I did, then you've heard it said that we all should live and learn. But is that true? Does living longer equate to knowing more and gaining wisdom? And even if that were true, are we benefiting from these precious acquisitions? And if so, are we sharing these precious gifts with others so that our living will be and bring blessings to others? Unfortunately, though, not all do live and learn.
This is why the psalmist clearly states if, as read in the Message version of the Bible. It's not a clear-cut certainty that we get wiser as we live longer. So, our God, being omniscient or all-knowing, inspired biblical writers to reach out to our conscious mind now and today with an invitation to wisdom. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord, from the NIV version of the Bible. What are these things that the psalmist solicited to us? We have to go back to the first verse in the 107th division of Psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We should always produce from within and exclaim outwardly a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. That's what we live and learn from this first wisdom key. Why? Well, let me tell you why. Psalm 107th division verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Though he redeemed from the hand of the enemy, from the hand of the foe. Psalm 107th division verse 3 says, those he gathered from the land, from east and west, from north and south. So because we all have a story of testimony of our life's situation that was heavy upon us and was weighing us down tremendously in mind, body, and spirit, we searched and tried and tried. We stayed up late at night seeking our own answers and solutions to problems that were beyond our means to resolve. We had reached many breaking points of frustration and futility. The fourth verse of 107th division of Psalms says, some wandered in desert wasteland, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Just like the children of Israel, we wandered about aimlessly, out direction and seeing no light at the end of every tunnel that we traversed. Y'all know we did. We were searching high and low. We were giving everything that we possibly could give to be able to find a way out of these dark hindrances that was holding us back. Thank God we live and learn. Verse 7 says, he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. We lived and learned that God has always provided. And we trust and believe that he always will. Yes, there were times that seemed bleak and almost all of our hope was gone. But God, verse 10 says, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness. Hello, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Been there, done that. Because they rebelled against God's command and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help, says verse 12. Verse 13 says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distresses. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. We live and learn that our mighty God is a great deliverer from the cares of this world. And listen, those private issues from within that we guard so secretly, talking about those habits that have become chains, they are so wondrously broken to those who truly believe. We're talking about live and learn for our spiritual uplift and recognition to God as being our great deliverer, our great provider. We live and learn, don't we? That is the show enough truth right there, right there. His woman of God, Janine Jackson Smith. Once we live and learn, you best be moving on. Hallelujah.
think about your future. Stop living in your past. Trouble can last, won't last always. Keep moving ahead, stop lingering behind. Procrastination is a thief of time. Your future.
Continue to trust in you because you are the power that allows us to keep moving up those hills, those rugged hills, and who pulls us out of those dark valleys of the situation in life. Sounds of Woman of God, Janine Jackson, moving us on into a higher place. We are embracing from the 107th division of Psalm, verses 43, and accordingly associated verses talking about live and learn. And it is a truth. He brought us out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. God has done just that for us. Verse 17 of the 107th division of Psalm says, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquity. They loathed all the food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Listen, y'all, we live and learn that our great and loving God is a redeemer. Even when we fail miserably and find ourselves like the dog who returned to his vomit, Psalms 26 and 11 says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Our God is so full of patience for our everlasting good, knowing that we are flesh. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 41, he told the disciples, near his time of torture and crucifixion, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Y'all know that's the truth. So, yes, we are a work in progress, being turned on the wheel like the potter. And we are in God's mighty hands. Isaiah 64 and 8, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. We are dependent upon the Father to keep us. The Father is depending upon us to be kept by him. This is the ever-growing need for us all to see every day and moment as opportunities to learn as we live. Amen. Psalm 107 and 31 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deed for mankind. Amen. Again, I want to thank my special guest, Woman of God, educator, businesswoman, and author, Dr. Marguerite Williams, my fellow member at New St. Hurricane Missionary Baptist Church, pastored by Derek Easter right here in Pineville, Arkansas, as well as man of God, gospel artist, Paul P.J. Deal, who was in our Shine Artist Spotlight sharing his awesome music and his wonderful, wonderful testimony. He'll be back, don't you dare worry. Just want to leave y'all with one final word. May our earthly pleasures never, ever, ever become greater than our pleasure to obey God. Amen. Goes right there. Thank you, each and every one of y'all. Keep me in your prayers, because y'all certainly are in my prayers. I appreciate each and every one of you all. So until next time, y'all be blessed as I leave you with Man of God, Dakari Cortez. Don't you know God has been good? Tell him, God, you've been good. Y'all be blessed. In the name of Jesus.
You're good. You've been good to me. If you know God is good, somebody open your mouth. Good prank. That's my song, y'all. Listen. Oh, you've been good to me. Good to me. You've been good to me. You've been good to me. Lord, you.
Cause he provided for anybody out here tonight. You provide for me. Lord, you've been so good. I got one more, listen. You made a way for me, yeah. Out of the way for me, yeah. You've been good, good to me. Can I get somebody to help me?
Sure.